everybody, and welcome to part two of the season six premiere episode.
If you part two
come here first, go ahead and go back, hit that part one, listen, and then you can come back and join us for the rest of the goodies, because we talked all about the George stuff first, so you're gonna want to hit that up.
Bring some tissues.
Some important stuff over there in that one. And now we're gonna do everything else, but we are going to start with everyone's favorite segment. Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland! I was like,
I forgot to say the name. I was like, why is he not singing? For fuck's sake.
I needed your permission with the announcement
to be
full. Also, like,
I'm
before.
I'm emotionally drained because it was really sad. And then also, I was looking at a picture of Travis Kelce in the interim time. So I guess my mind is elsewhere. Anyways.
Also, wait, so before, so I'm like sitting there, we were like talking, we're like, okay, so do we want to like talk about something and then go into Living in Shondaland? And Kelsey's like, no, let's just do it. And I just go, gosh, if people listen from part one to part two, it's going to be just like weepy, 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 sad. Carmen yells at us and then it's Shondaland. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. So it's also going to feel wildly unnecessary because there's no one in Shondaland.
Yeah, fuck
again.
And I went through
so many people. There are a lot of extra people in this episode.
Yeah.
And not a single one of them was in Shondaland.
I'm shocked that Ceviche wasn't one of them.
Yeah.
Goodness.
Disrespectful. It was a lot of people. All right. And not a single one was in another episode of anything. Okay.
Yeah. I don't even feel bamboozled anymore because I'm giving the people what they want.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to have that song. We got to have that moment of levity in the, in the George
But it's
sadness.
Also... It's the payoff because of all the hard work that you put into it. Mm. So
that's true.
That if it's not
I,
even if it's not for
I
me,
earned.
It's for you.
It's my payment.
Speaking of payment, go to our Patreon,
please. Okay.
If Let's you haven't already watched, go to our reel on our Instagram page at Grey's Academy Pod. Get that new reel. Watch my reaction. There's probably going to be more clips because there's another part.
Yeah,
I think there's another
one I have to put together too.
So for context, as soon as Weber said that he gave George the day off to go and tell his mom he enlisted, I paused and I was annoyed because I was like, oh, well, fuck, they wasted a whole day of planning for his intervention. And as soon as I said they wasted the whole day for his intervention, that's when I was like, oh, my fuck, this is George. And then there's another clip that Kelsey may have to edit and share later on. But when
Izzy's.
What?
Izzy's wishes are being ignored.
Yeah, Izzy's wishes are. I stand up, I get so upset, and I walk away from the TV. So I physically turn the TV off and walk away. So, anyways,
oh, good times. Carmen has a flair for the dramatics. As do I. There's no shame in it.
No,
it bonds us.
Yes.
Okay. Should we talk about the funeral first?
Mm. I had to get a sip of my Fresca to say, Yeska, let's talk about this funeral.
So, first of all, I read there's a deleted scene where Callie says that she can't go to George's funeral because she has like an emergent surgery. So that's why Callie isn't there. Which feels fucked up to me, but I'm not a doctor.
Yes. So after all that stuff that we see on her emotional journey.
Yeah.
Not getting to put her ex-husband in the ground. Yeah.
Anyways, okay. So I just wanted to address that first before we get going on the funeral. They're there. Fucking Amanda's there. Sobbing.
My first note about this, because I had to make a whole new tab just for George's funeral, was in all caps, why is this girl there? And why is she still so sad?
Mm-hmm.
It's just... they must be paying this girl a lot of money to cry for these episodes. And she's not even... and she doesn't come back. She disrespects George's character so much that she's not living in Shondaland.
So, yeah, it's dumb. Izzy kind of, like, bends down. And I guess Alex at first thinks she's crying. And she, like, excuses herself. And so then Alex, Christina, and Meredith follow her. and they get behind some like mausoleum, and she bursts out laughing, and they're like, what is happening? I will say there was a previous episode. I think she was talking to Denny, maybe. I don't know. She's talking to someone and she says, I'm the kind of person who laughs at funerals. She did it.
She did do that. That's right.
They kept it true.
That's a callback. Wow. Over my head. I did not get that.
So yeah, that was, I wanted to note that. Also too. So yeah, she's like, fucking Amanda won't shut up. The priest is saying rock lyrics, and I'm just laughing it all because George died, and isn't that hilarious? And I got cancer and all this stuff, and it's a lot of time. It's a lot of feelings. Again, I think that just goes back to the different alleys of grief that a person feels in a day.
Yeah, they're all saying their thing. They just start hysterically laughing and crying all at the same time. Wait, what does she say? That redhead is crying more than his mother.
Yep.
I got cancer. You got married on a post-it note. And then Alex goes, O'Malley got hit by a bus. And then they all laugh.
Yeah.
And then they stop.
Yeah.
Man. And I think the final thing is they say she never stops crying.
Well, and yeah, then because then Amanda walks by crying. And so they start laughing again.
Yeah. Gosh. I do not look forward to the day when one of my close friends dies.
Yeah, I know. It made me, I had the same thought, honestly. I know it's morbid, but I was like, God, I can't deal with like losings, especially like so young. I mean, they say he's 29, so it's just like, fuck.
We passed that.
Yeah, we did. We made it to the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, it's fucking brutal.
There's also, I think about just TV shows where someone who dies soon, mm-hmm. so soon, so young, yeah. right? The crazy thing is so Matthew Perry recently passed away, and we're out right. here saying dude's in his 50s or whatever, gone too soon, right? 29.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had kids die on this show, right? Too soon. No one's mm-hmm. doubting. No one's arguing that. The thing is George just hit his stride as a doctor. How many lives could he have saved?
So
cool. I'm not saving lives.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, bringing joy to people's lives, but
the honoring that by doing the organ donation. I feel like that's kind of how he can continue to save lives, even in death. So I don't know. It's hard for sure.
Well, any final thoughts with George? These are for sure last episode, but kind of leading into this episode it's the George O'Malley send off episode. So any final thoughts?
Well, I don't know if I really want to say, I mean, because the second one did air at the same time. So I feel like it's still kind of in the next episode aired together with this one. So I don't want to say for sure this is like the end of the grief, because I do feel like if you'll notice it said like day one, day seven, day whatever.
Yeah.
That continues through the second episode. So I think they're kind of gauging their new thing, like their new like time landmark, if that makes sense. Like, what is the word I'm looking for? Their timestamp that they're going to like measure everything by is going to be before George died and after George died. And I think that's kind of like what this season premiere is setting up, is like, this is the new way we're going to be measuring time, is like, was that something that happened before George died, or is that something that happened after George died? Mm. So I don't know for sure. I mean, it's been a while since I've watched the second episode, but I don't want to say for sure that, like, cause I think that it will still be something that they're reeling from and dealing with in that one. So we'll do a final George send off thoughts next episode.
If this motherfucker wakes up and comes back to life,
they gave his heart to someone else. I think you're safe.
we haven't seen it. Now. We didn't see it. We didn't see the physical surgery, did we?
They put him in the ground.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I literally just said that. We just, yeah. Well, we didn't see it. They left the funeral before. We never physically saw him go down. Okay. Okay. If Dr. Drake Ramore can come back,
he didn't.
Anyone can come back.
Oh, yeah, he did. Just kidding. Well, he didn't really.
No,
he came back
he
with
back
Susan Sarandon's brain in his body.
Yeah. So funny. Gosh.
Gold.
All right, where to next, Captain?
You know what? I want to hear your take on the Richard and Derek thing. I am very intrigued. So to recap, for those who don't remember, Derek is early on in the episode approached by the chairman of the board who says, do you want to be the next chief of surgery of Seattle Grace? And Derek basically plays both sides. He tells the board member, you know, let me think about it. And then he immediately goes to Richard and he's like, the board's planning a coup. They've already offered me your job. I've bought you some time, but you got to fucking do something if you want to keep your job. So I want to hear your thoughts on this.
So I'm a little bit embarrassed to say the first time I heard it, I was like, wait, is that Weber's job? Did I miss something? I had like a moment where I completely forgot anything about this show. And then I was like, well, is Weber the chief of medicine? No, surely he's the chief of surgery. And then I was like, okay, wait, hold on. No, something is afoot. Mm-hmm. Then I thought, is he stepping down and he told no one? And then when Derek is like, yo, they're planning a coup. And then he goes, for my job, for my chief of surgery job. Mm-hmm. That's I was like, oh no, he's not. This is bad. This is bad things. Not good. So I, to Derek's credit, it's not doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
Because he let Weber know. He is buying him time. He's doing all the right things. He's showing respect, but also he's got to protect his career and his legacy. Right. Although I would imagine Derek probably makes more as his neurosurgeon than as chief of surgery. I don't know. I don't know how the hierarchy in hospitals work exactly. But when I think more about it, I kind of go to that scene later on where they're like, he's like, I need more time. Right. Derek says to the guy, I need more time. Which also at one point, there's a period from day one to day seven, and day seven is after the funeral, and Derek goes to Weber in the bar and is like, hey, like you're running out of time. And he's like, I need a minute to think. Like, dude, he told you a week ago, you've had a minute. You've had a lot of minutes to think, actually. But he goes back, Derek goes back to the board guy and he's like, I need more time. And the board guy's like, I can give you press, I can give you money, and I can give you benefits, but what I cannot give you is more time. So buck up. Figure out your shit.
Yeah.
All of my thoughts are this. Weber will remain chief of surgery.
Okay.
He's not going anywhere yet. That's my prediction.
Okay.
But I don't like the coup. I don't like the whole coup thing. I don't like these cuckoo cano. We're not doing that shit.
Yeah, so what Derek says is, oh wait, sorry, this is the later one. When he initially goes to Richard and he says, I know this is like the day, this is before Callie has even decided about the organs. Derek says, I know this is the worst possible moment, but we need to talk. The board is planning a coup. They're saying you've dropped the ball. Our rank isn't coming up. They want to oust you. They're asking me to support it. They're asking me to step up and take the job. So I'm going to say this as a Derek hater. This is such a good move. Like, this is a very noble move. Like, immediately goes to Richard and is like, I want to give you the opportunity to keep your job because it's your job. And he has, you know, there's a history with him and Richard. Richard brought him there, offering him this job. So I think that's important, especially with knowing how just like uncontrollably selfish and narcissistic Derek is. I think this is very out of character, but in the best possible way. So I have to give credit where credit's due. He's healed. He's done no work, but he's healed. So sounds familiar.
What? Who?
So yeah, I think I do think that I have to give credit to Derek, because I think that's very noble. And it doesn't, like, there's no moment where we see him like struggling with that decision. I think that he's just like, I have to tell Richard. Like, I am going to be honest with him. I'm going to give him the opportunity to like do whatever he can do to make this not be, you know, the way things play out.
What I also like about this version of Derek that I have in my head for this moment is Derek's like, I want to win, but I don't want to win dirty.
Yeah.
That's kind of where my head is at. Yeah. You know, like I want this job, but I want to get this job with Richard's blessing. And as he passes his off to me, not with a coup, not with a backstabbing. Yeah.
So I think also, then we get the scene at the bar where it's right after the funeral. Everyone's at the bar, like post funeral, you know, when you have like a wake kind of thing. And Derek goes up to him and Richard is like, please not now. And Derek's like, it has been a week and you're avoiding me. And Richard is like, for the love of fuck, not now, you piece of shit.
And, well, I don't know if that was the exact Derek's sentence.
Like, I am buying you time. Like, I'm on your side. Like, you're not giving me the credit of being incredible. Typical. And Richard is like, you have no idea what I've given for every miscalculation they think there is. There's been so many things that I've done right, but like no one gives me credit for that. No one knows those things. And then Derek's like, I'm on your side. And Richard says, then back off. Like, give me time to think. Let me have a minute. O'Malley was my intern. I'm trying to take a minute. So please back off. And Derek respects that, which I understand. Like, this is again, when he says it's the worst possible time, it really is, because I mean, like, yeah, Richard does deserve this time to grieve, but at the same time, like, this is his job now that's on the line. And so Derek is kind of like walking like this fine line of being like, how far does he need to be pushed? Because if he wants to keep his job, he's going to have to fucking do something. Otherwise it's not going to be his job anymore. But at the same time, he's, you know, in the middle of this grief, and Derek doesn't want to like push him too far past that. So right. I don't know. It's definitely tricky.
And the thing is it becomes, the longer time goes on, it's a lose-lose situation for Derek.
Yeah.
Either he's forced to have to take it and he does irreparable damage to his friendship / mentorship,
mm-hmm.
or he overplays his let me get some time, and now it goes to someone who maybe isn't good for the job,
yeah.
or maybe someone who, like, if you watched any of New Amsterdam, they go through a transition and they oust one of the guys, and it becomes it's a terrible person. It's a shit show. So, yeah, you know, it's teetering on a lose-lose situation.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, I'm yawning. Well, then later, like, Derek is with Jennings again. He's like, I need more time. And Jennings like, I cannot give you more time. I can give you more money and give you more benefits, but I cannot give you more time. And that is happening simultaneously with the Callie thing, which we'll go ahead and get into because that's wrapped up with this, I think. So Callie has gone to Weber and she's like, I put in an application for attending and I haven't heard anything. And Weber says, well, Dr. who?
Chang.
Dr. Chang has decided not to retire because his 401k took a hit because it's 2009 and we're fucking doing this for the 800th time.
Right.
And he's not retiring. And she's like, okay. And he's like, well, I don't have a job to give you. And she's like, okay, but like this man does nothing. He is a figurehead and a dinosaur, and I am the one that people call. I am the one that people come to. I am the one who gets sought out because I am the best there is at this hospital. And he's like, well, bummer. I'm not giving you a job because I'm also old. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, that was
Let's
weird.
Let's separate our feelings.
Yeah, I can't help you because I'm a dinosaur too. The fuck?
Yeah. And Callie's like, I am excellent. You're going to regret this. Any other hospital would be thrilled to have me. This is outside now, outside the office. She's like walking away and yelling at him. And he's like chasing her down. And she says, don't say my name. I'm too big of a star for you to say my name. I build arms out of nothing and legs like God. And when I win the Harper Avery and every other prize there is, you will rue this day, Chief Weber. That's right. I said rue. And that's when Jennings is talking to Derek right there, and he's like, running a real tight ship here, Weber. Good job.
And you get kind of this subtle, like, nod from Derek of disappointment, because you're like, dude, I'm doing everything I can to help you keep your fucking job. And what are you doing pissing off Callie? What the fuck are you doing pissing off her?
Yeah. And then she gets in the elevator with Miranda and she just like starts crying. And Bailey, she's like, I can't take anything else. Like, she's like, normally she would ask her what's wrong, but she can't take anything else being wrong. So she's just like,
doesn't look at her, doesn't touch her, nothing. That honestly is probably just as gut-wrenching as Callie originally having the hyperventilating scene.
Yeah.
Because you know Bailey's the kind of person who cares. And in this point, she has nothing to give. She has no bandwidth. Like, literally none.
Yeah.
I want to circle back on something real quick, because I wasn't fully understanding this scene. Are we supposed to be led to believe that Callie is, like, really good?
Yes. Yes.
I feel like I've missed that.
No.
I know she's good in this hospital. But is she seen, like, are we supposed to believe that she is, like, a national level orthopedic surgeon?
Well, I think, so she's at this point, again, she's not an attending. She's a fifth year resident. So she was the chief resident. She did that poorly, but that's admin stuff. She's been great at her job. There was that, remember that homeless guy was getting crushed by the bus, or by the, not the bus, that was George, by the garbage truck. And she was like building his bones, and she was successful, but he died because the other people weren't able to save him. But she was successfully doing that. And that the girl that Izzy donated the money to, where she was like completely bent over, but she like built her a new spine or some shit.
Yeah.
I think she's excellent in the way that she does things that other people don't do. She's very innovative and she's very excellent. So I think those two together are what set her apart.
Got it. That's helpful context, because I think the show has gotten so crazy and so dramatic, and everyone that we come across, Addison, Mark, Derek, Burke, Han, these people are world renowned.
Right.
And I think that it becomes all of a sudden like, oh, just you're all great. It's unimpressive. But then we have this scene where she says, I'm going to win the Harper Avery. I'm going to blah, blah, blah. I'm incredible. Yeah. Like, I'm a god. Everyone at hospital is lucky to have me. I have to kind of take that minute of like, well, how good is she? Is she good in this hospital, or is she good at a macro level? And I appreciate you walking me through that.
Well,
that's,
and
I forgot about
those
things.
To be good at this hospital in this show.
Number 12.
Used to be, it used to mean a lot. Right, because they were number like 3, they said at some point. They were either 2 or 3, right? So there's like, and the other hospitals they mention are real. So there's like Mayo Clinic, there's Johns Hopkins. Like, these are the names that we as plebeians know as good institutions. And so they're equating their institution as one of those. So even at number 12, like, that's still pretty good for the whole country. That's still pretty good. Obviously, they want to be like top 10. They want to be top 3, top 5, whatever. But so I think being good at this hospital is a big deal.
That's fair. That's good
context. I see what you're saying, where it's like everyone here is so good. Does it matter? Like, but yeah.
I just forget. I think it's like I have a superstar fatigue, you know? Everyone is so good. It's like when that there's that saying in the workplace, if you prioritize everything, you prioritize nothing.
Yeah.
If everyone in this hospital is good, no one is good. Mm-hmm. It's just tough.
Was it this show or was it some other show where they're like, if everyone is special, that means nobody is? I don't know what that's from.
I think you're thinking of The Incredibles. With Syndrome.
I think you're correct.
Yes.
I think
if everyone's
Dash
incredible.
Says something about that.
That he, well, it's the villain. He says,
no, but I think Dash also says something about it.
Does he?
When they're like telling him he can't run fast because like everyone is special or something. I don't know. Anyways, it doesn't matter. Irrelevant.
This podcast is now Disney canon. Oh, goodness. That's funny.
Yeah. So anything else on the Derek and Richard storyline?
I think my official prediction, I think I said this already, is Richard remains chief of surgery. Currently in this state, I don't think the coup is going to be successful. I also, as we're talking about the rankings, I feel like it's got to have been some time since the last ranking came out.
It was the beginning of season 5.
Okay.
Which has been, I don't know, 4 days probably.
Oh boy. Well, at least 10 days since we've gotten to this point. But I would imagine that maybe there's something where the rankings come back and they've been able to make a recovery and it takes the wind out of the board's sails to oust him. But
yeah, I was going to say, do you think the board just like drops the ball or he actually does something or it's an outside source, like an outside force that changes them?
I think it's going to be it's going to be an outside force. I think they're going to find that the people that they want to offer the job inside the hospital are too loyal to Weber.
Mm-hmm.
And or they could go the route of bringing an external person in and it's a temporary thing. Like they had Courtney Cox was in a couple episodes of Scrubs as the chief of medicine. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, she's shit. Let's get rid of her. Mm-hmm. So maybe the coup works, but it's no one from inside Seattle Grace. It's an external person. And then we just have to deal with a season and that they're the antagonist for the season.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's going to be my official prediction. Okay. That right there.
So it just goes back to Weber.
It will go back to Weber, but I think there's going to be a period of time where Weber is not it.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay. So we'll move on to, Arizona's patient. Should we?
Yeah, that works for me.
Okay. So Arizona has a teenager come into the OR, or ER rather, really early on in the episode when like George is still dead on the table, but everyone knows that he's died. So everyone's crying and sobbing, but still trying to be doctors. So this woman brings her son in. He's like a teenager. He's having like horrendous pains where he collapses, he throws up, he just like can't be a person because of this, how bad his pain is. And their pediatrician told them it was growing pains, which does seem like a, you know, like I'm blowing this off, like you're annoying me, whatever. It doesn't seem like a thorough diagnosis. And so she brings him to the ER Arizona's like, you're right, that's not normal. Like, I'm going to run some tests. We're going to figure this out. And then Callie comes over and they have a little moment where she's like, oh, go home, cry, scream, be upset, eat donuts. I ate donuts, whatever. And then she goes back to the mom and the mom's like, do I need to go somewhere else? Cause like everyone is sobbing and shaking and like, what's happening here? Is this hospital an okay place to be? Which is honestly like,
it's fair.
It's a fair question. Like her son is in immense pain. She's already gone to somewhere else. Like this is her second opinion. Like, I feel like it's fair. Yes, it kind of comes off like harsh, but if you're an outsider and you just are looking around and everyone's like a puddle, you're like, is the hospital closing? Like, is the hospital about to go bankrupt? Like, what's happening?
Well, that's when you make the foot in mouth joke and you go, well, who died, guys? And that's when they're all like, it was George. George yeah. died.
So,
like, tough crowd.
Arizona says, like, you know, there was an accident. One of our people died. And the mom's like, This is my kid. This is my person. He's my only person. And Arizona's like, heard, like, I will make him my person. We will figure this out together. So she runs tests. Nothing comes back. She's like, oh, he has mild scoliosis. But, you know, with the growth spurt, that could explain the pain.
And well, the mom's hold like, on. Pause. Because that happens a little bit later. We skipped over a very important scene with Arizona and Bailey.
Is that one now or later? I thought you were going to go to the Weber scene.
No. Arizona and Bailey on the bench.
You're right.
So we get. So here's the thing. I'm really enjoying Arizona as a character. She's compelling. She's quirky. She's in a relationship with one of my favorite characters currently. She's got a good energy to her. Mm-hmm. So she goes to the scene and she basically is sitting there with Bailey. And Bailey's on the bench just a mess, right? Mm-hmm. Keeping it all inside, but a mess. And Arizona is like, I need to talk through this. I think better when I can talk through things. And Bailey basically is like, you know, George died, right? Like, George, our George.
Who works here, yeah.
In this hospital. He's a resident. You heard of him? And Arizona just is very kind. She's like, look, I get it. I hear you. But this person is alive. And I need you to work. I need you to talk through this. This living patient. This person who's alive right now. Please. Yeah. And Kelsey, when Bailey is clenching her teeth.
Like when her voice cracks.
But
she starts to talk through it with her.
And she's, yes. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. Yep. That's about it. I mean,
about it.
That's just not much else to say. It's just like so, so hard to watch and so well executed as like from an acting standpoint.
Obviously, there's so much to this episode and mm-hmm. like these episodes together, right? But like, is this scene one that stood out to you that you remembered watching live, or was this like one that as you go through your rewatches, you're like, oh yeah, this scene.
Actually, where does
this rank for you?
This one's great, but this is not one that I really remembered occurring in this episode. I remember like Callie screaming at Weber. And I remember Callie hyperventilating and the whole funeral thing, fucking Amanda not shutting up, but
she never stops crying.
I didn't remember this one, but God bless it. It is so good. And again, I was just like, it's such a good, like, this is where I was like, the world keeps going. No matter who you have lost or like how big your yep. loss is or how yep. big your grief feels, like the world keeps going and it fucking sucks. And like, no shade to Arizona. She's right. She's like, this really sad thing happened. And like, I am sad for the people in our hospital who have lost someone, for his parents, for his family. Like, and also I want to help this patient who is here, who I can help, because I can't help George, but I can help this kid potentially. And I need help. I need you to help me help him.
It's also, I think it's a really nice gesture by Arizona because she's going to take the general surgery spot,
mm-hmm.
right? We've mm-hmm. landed on that. She's taking it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But still, her and Arizona have been through such a journey mm-hmm. that...
And Arizona knows at the end of the day, she's a great doctor.
Right.
And a great peds surgeon or general surgeon, wherever she ends up, she's doing a great job being a doctor. And that's not lost on Arizona. And
yeah.
someone who can help you is someone who can help you at the end of the day, regardless of... you know, the background or where they land or, you know, what your journey that you've been on professionally is. And I do think it's big of Arizona to hear what Bailey said to her in the finale about how, you know, Tuck was like, I'm going to leave you if you do this. So it is a big decision for her. And she's not shaming her for putting her family first or making that tough decision. She's like, okay, you know, we're still peers. We can still work together and we can still have this respect for each other and help each other.
Yeah, it adds to Arizona. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan of her and her character. What's the name of the actress that plays Arizona?
Jessica Capshaw.
Jessica Capshaw. Okay. Let's just say Arizona has capshawed my heart.
That was 10 out of 10.
Thank you.
Impeccable.
Thank you.
I loved it. I normally hate them, but that one, brilliant. No notes.
Gosh. Yeah, that one, that just, it felt right.
That one came. That one hit.
So natural. goodness. Okay, anything else? I know we kind of backtracked there a little bit, but where else were you going with your notes for this character?
Well, she's like, if this doesn't go away, then we'll run tests later. And Andy's mom's like, why don't you run them now? And she's like, well, because they're like
right.
the spinal taps and those hurt. It's gonna stick a giant needle in his spine. And then the mom says, are you sure about this? And Arizona says, no, I'm not, but I will write you this, you know, prescription to help with the pain. I am here if you need me, and I hope you don't need me. Obviously then they come back. And
yeah.
It's gotten worse.
We need you.
And so she orders, the 3D emergent 3D MRI. Is that what it was?
Yes. Because Weber was big mad about it.
Yeah. Yep. And where is it? Well, I can't find it. Weber comes in and he's like, why did you do this? Like, do you just think the hospital's going to pay for this? And she's like, well, their insurance is like, it's going to take a long time and we need these answers now and all this stuff. And it's fucked up. Insurance is fucked up. I had a lot of feelings about that.
Yeah. And my question, if there's anyone out here who works in medical billing or insurance or things like that, what I need to know is, do they get charged for the trip to the MRI? Because that feels like a capitalist America thing to happen. There's a fee. Maybe they didn't get into the machine, but they still have to pay $1,000 to walk up to the machine and observe it.
I don't think that's the case.
I'm a little bit being facetious.
I'm almost surprised it's not, though.
Right.
Emergent 3D MRI in Arizona said this patient's mother's insurance will take weeks to get MRI and a specialty pain referral. And Richard's like, oh, you thought the hospital was paid for it? And she's like, well, I just... And then he's like, I don't want to hear it. Discharge the patient, refer him back to his physician. Which is bad doctoring. I'm sorry. It's the bad doctoring. Why do you need... what if he needs a 3D MRI, why can't he fucking get one?
Yeah.
Maybe it's not bad doctoring. Maybe it's bad fucking healthcare bullshit.
Well, it's a little bit of... that leads to bad doctoring. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But obviously, you know, this is coming off of Richard's bullshit with the board and with Derek and all that bullshit. So yeah, good times.
She said that sarcastically. It's bad yeah. times. It's the bad
it's,
times.
It's the bad place. Healthcare yes. in America is the bad place.
Yeah.
Which sucks because
we don't
like,
even need Ted
Danson for
it.
Quality of healthcare is good.
Yeah.
Like, the doctors are good, just not set up for success by the system, in yeah. my opinion.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll move on to a word from our regional sponsors. And we're back. Thank you so much.
Beautiful. It's beautiful. You guys now, can't see back in behind the curtain, but I was like waving at Kelsey and I was just the worst charades partner in that. I'm just waving my hand around.
Yeah.
And
you
put two and two together.
The corner of a door, but I figured yeah. it out.
Yeah. You got there.
Okay. Let's talk. We'll talk Clara
the
and then we'll just
boat.
Kind of go. Yeah, yeah, we'll do Clara first and then we'll kind of do just the odds and ins that we have left. Okay. So at the beginning of the scene, Owen and Christina are waiting for the ambulance. A gentle handhold. So kind. So respectful. And then this girl was in a boating accident in Puget Sound and both of her arms got cut off by the boat. And also something is wrong with her leg. And so they take her in and the other two girls get out of the boat and they're like, we have her arms and they're blue. It's disgusting. And so
it was wild. And then Mark
yeah.
is like, oh, I can work with this. I got this. I'm like, what
oh, yeah.
do
like,
you
wow.
mean?
Well, I guess it's really clean cuts. If it's cleaner
so.
Cuts, then like there's less nerve damage, I think, is what they typically say in this show. I don't know about real life. If it's a clean cut, then it's typically easier to clean it and reattach it.
But I'm concerned at the waterlogged nature and lack of oxygen. I guess.
Well, it's not a brain.
Yeah. Yeah. I just have to suspend belief, I guess. Not a doctor.
Shocked. Okay. So, yeah, they had been... She's like, that was so gross. And the other girl goes, you just saved her life. She goes, do you think so?
Yeah, no. Think so?
No, you did I hate not those girls. Save her life. Yeah, they suck.
Disclaimer. This girl's story is just so sad.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. So they tell them to wait. So that they can come and update them. And first they're asking her like, oh, does she have allergies or anything? Like is she on any medication? And the other girl's like, she's not our friend. We just met her on the plane over from Sydney. We're backpacking through the States. Like she's nice, but we don't know her. And, they are able to tell her name at least. And, they give her the backpack and, they're like, should we stay? And they're like, yes. And then they don't. That was the last we see of them. There's no staying involved. They leave. They got to go to Burning Man.
I was going
to
say, yeah, you know, Burning Man. It's
Burning Man.
I've never been to Burning Man.
I also haven't. And this year there was a whole thing. Did you see it this year where they were trapped there for like 3 days after it ended?
No. What? Because
it's like in the middle of a desert in Vegas, or in Nevada, rather, like outside of Vegas. And because it's like a different ground, it rained really hard on like the last day. But because it's like not mud, it's like clay. So no one could get in or out. So everyone was just trapped there.
I did not know that. That sounds
yeah,
terrible.
It was wild. At some point, Christina goes out to update them and they're gone. So she tells Lexi that she has to be her friend because she's going to have like dozens more surgeries and just horrendous recovery period. And she needs a support system. And Christina's like, well, I'm not fucking doing it. So you're going to do it, which obviously like Lexi would be good at that. And she is good at that. We see that. So
you know who else would have been good at that?
George.
George.
Probably Izzy.
Yeah.
So these fucking bitches be sending her a postcard. That's so rude.
That's messed up.
Yeah.
Messed up.
They're going to continue to be able to do these surgeries. That they have a plan of treatment for Clara. They're going to be able to like do these surgeries. They reattached her arms. They had to take one of the legs off, but she has her other leg, but her arm, they expect her arms to like recover. But she will not call her mother and tell her that this has happened. As a parent, this was a fucking nightmare. I was like, I don't ever want to let my children leave my sight ever.
Yeah.
Brutal.
The thing that's messed up with this is, so the girl's like rationalizing it, right? She's like, my mom, no, you guys, you don't get it. My mom, she says she made me from scratch, which by the way, you are not Shmi Skywalker and you are not born of the force out of midichlorians, lady. Get yourself together. You're not made from actual scratch, okay?
You're made from a sperm and an egg.
Yeah.
In a uterus.
Uterus. So I get being too proud to like want help, but you better believe that if I like, what are you gonna do? You're gonna show up for Thanksgiving 1 year with no leg and then tell your mom? What's the end game? What's the goal? Obviously a lot of things happen, you know, after that, with Lexi and the freaking panic attack. My gosh.
Yeah.
But it's a traumatic thing, and she needs a support system. And
yeah,
I wish
she doesn't have it. And she's lying. No. She's like keeping up this charade.
Yeah.
And she's just like, she has no one. I mean, she has Lexi, yes, and Lexi's being wonderful and sweet and kind and supportive and loving, but she doesn't know her. She doesn't like, I'm sure she feels very alone. She's in a hospital bed in another country.
Yeah. It's times like these that I wish they would have gotten the psych consults out a little bit sooner.
Yeah.
Could we, like, if I lose both my arms and they're getting reattached, I need a psych consult.
Even stat. With a support system. I would yeah. love a psych consult.
Like, hey, should we just talk about how I may never be able to play guitar again? Like, is that something that I, mentally, I need us to talk through that, guys. I need help. I need help now. I would need help then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Goodness. It's so just weird.
Lots of lying, then the whole made from scratch thing, and you know, just writing all the letters. And then at the very end, Lexi is like, you know, you're so lucky to be alive. It's a miracle. And Clara's like, fuck you. You should have let me die. I don't want to be alive like this. Which is...
Say what now?
Heavy. And then she yeah. starts, like, thrashing around. And her arms are newly stitched on. So they immediately start bleeding, which is horrible and also horrific. And terrifying. Disgusting.
That's like horror movie shit.
Yeah, truly.
So the stitches are coming across. She's thrashing. You see where her arms were ripped off her. Also, can I just... I gotta understand. So how did she get into the propeller? She was thrown from a boat into another boat?
She was on the boat. No, I think she fell off the back of the boat and then maybe was like pulled under in the current. Because if you fall off the back, the current can like... And the boat is going. The current, it's going. You're not like necessarily... If you just fall, it's not like you're getting thrown, right?
That's fair.
Let me see. Let me see what they say. Let me see what this.
It makes me never want to go on a boat. That's for sure. Between that and did you watch any of the Netflix documentary about the guys who like covered up the murder down in the South somewhere?
Oh, Alec Murdaugh.
Yeah. Thank you. I gave you very little to go off of, and you really got there quick. I read a lot
about it while it was happening, and it's fucking
gnarly.
It's fucking. Whatever they're lying, whatever they're saying isn't true. I think he did it, but someone else had to have helped him. It doesn't track. Anyways, okay. Yeah, it says she was thrown off the boat and pulled into the propellers. That's all it says. Mm. Mm.
Terrible. In these last couple of episodes, we've been faced with a lot of people who are creating parameters around their life or lack of quality of life. We get Izzy wanting to sign the DNR, and we get mm-hmm. this girl who's like, oh, you should have let me die. No arms and one leg. What kind of way yeah. is that to live? But like, I was able to, I moved my fingers. Right. I get that. But also yeah. as a person, like that's also easy for us to say because we've never yeah. gone through a limb reattachment surgery. But
or when she kind of major recovery. From right. Anything.
She like one pinky moved and Lexi was like, oh my God, girl, good for you. That's harsh. Yeah. That's not harsh. She was being very kind. That's a harsh reality, yeah. but it brings into the question of like, what is the quality of life? What is life when you can't do those things or whatever? But
yeah,
then you get that deadpan to Bailey at the end.
I know. And the voiceover that Meredith has, it says, in medical school, we have 100 classes that teach us how to fight off death and not one lesson in how to go on living. Ah! Incredible.
Why'd you have to go so hard, Meredith?
Damn, Shonda, you fucking wrecking us. Coming back into season 6 like...
Yeah,
I don't
know what that seriously. Was, it's like a meerkat. They are taking no prisoners. Meredith's yeah. voiceovers, Shonda's writing, Chandra's acting. Or I should say Ellen's voiceover.
Yeah.
But damn. And she's just sitting there. She is a broken woman. She is just like, this woman is thrashing in this room next to me, and I'm not even going to look.
Yeah.
I don't.
Can't look at Callie having to break down. Can't look at this patient losing her damn mind.
They didn't page me. Not my problem. I don't have it. I gave it all on a bench with Arizona. I got nothing left.
So a couple more little things to note before we get into ratings and predictions. Owen and Christina not allowed to have sex. Great scene. Great scene. Love this.
I thought they were going to bone and they did not.
They didn't. They have the therapist said, don't have sex because you'll lose yourself before you find yourself. And then they make the burying joke about the penis in the vaginas. Very on brand for you. I know you like
love
that.
It. Love it. And that's when we get the ceviche nickname, which is dark and so funny. It's what is it?
It's very Christina.
No, what's the splithy? Pithy.
Pithy.
Pithy. Gosh.
It is windy as fuck at my house. Damn.
See a cat flying around?
Yeah. So then other things. Amanda shows back up at the ER and she's like, I can't sleep. I feel so bad. Which, like, again, I feel bad for her, but shut the fuck up. It's hard to feel bad for her when I know all of the other people.
Yeah.
They don't know her. And I also found her annoying because she was on that other show. So
may have a little bit of baggage
anxiety
there.
Medication, and she's like, fucking go to sleep.
Yeah. Although Meredith does a nice job. She's like, I'll get you some medicine because the loss of sleep can lead to dangerous. Remember that episode of Private Practice? We've seen some dangerous things happen to people who don't get sleep. Okay.
Charlotte. Oh, and the, and the
girl,
mom.
The yeah. girl from Suits.
He named her, but I loved her. Okay. And then, what was the other thing I was going to say? Oh, there was a moment, earlier in the episode. Again, this is like right when they figured out it's George and Meredith is sitting at a computer and Derek comes in and is like, do you need to go home? No. Did you eat? No. Can you eat? No. Did you cry? No. And she's like, he says, well, maybe if you cry. And she goes, you know what? You just being here helps. Don't say anything, but you being here is helpful. And I liked that moment for the two of them. Was there anything else that we are missing? I feel like there was something else I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, hold on. Alex and Izzy walking home and Derek and Meredith are just boning on the stairs.
Yes.
And then, he fucking gives them the Airstream.
Which, you predicted something like that. I don't remember word for word what you said, but there was something you had predicted where you were like, they're going to go live. Are you pulling up the prediction sheet?
I don't have access to it.
Oh, you still don't
yet.
Have it? Okay, let me find it.
Alicia.
leave her be. She is doing this out of the kindness of her heart.
I actually don't want it. Alicia, I don't want it. I don't even want to run the risk of something getting in there that I get spoiled on.
Yeah.
The last thing I need is an Excel sheet to ruin my life. I love Excel sheets too much. I actually spent a lot of time making an Excel sheet for work, and I posted it to my team chat the other day, and people are loving
good
it.
For you.
Yeah, lots of data and formulas.
Love a good spreadsheet when it serves its purpose. They walk in on Derek and Meredith having sex on the stairs, to which Izzy says, doesn't that hurt? Which is a good question.
The answer is no, it doesn't hurt people. Speaking from experience.
I see that, thank you.
Yeah.
But were they hardwood?
There was some hardwood.
Okay. And so yeah, Alex gets.
Did you find me have? Did I have a prediction of it? Did I have a predict? Predict
I'm
something
looking
along
for
those
it.
Lines? Oh, okay.
But now it doesn't make sense because you had said like, if they had stayed together, they would do something. So that prediction might not be on here, because you were like, well, if Izzy lived, then this would happen. But she's gonna die, so it doesn't matter.
Got it. I'm still right. So I think what we're all trying to, in those exact words, say, Carmen, you're correct, I think is what you're trying to say.
You predicted something along the lines of if Izzy didn't die, but it won't matter because she did die, but she didn't die. They're going to live in the Airstream. Also, Callie.
That's kind of cute. That's kind of cute.
And Mark sees the apartment across the way from her.
Oh yeah. That place is nice. Is it for sale? What did you say? Shh, 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 shh. It's okay.
I love the friendship, little birdie. So much. And also Mark finding Lexi in the lounge because she's like, "Oh, I was gonna clean out George's locker, but now I'm sad." And this Mark moment,
yes,
could not be more Carmen coded. This Mark moment is so Carmen coded; it is absolutely ridiculous. He says, "Do you want to ride home?" And she's like, "Oh, I was going to clean out his locker." And then she like feels bad because she, you know, she was like, "I was a bad friend. I just stopped being his friend because he didn't like me. Like I liked him, all this stuff." And Mark goes, "This may be bad timing, but I got to ask, what did that guy have? I mean, he wasn't much to look at, but you and Stevens and Torres, first of all, he's also forgetting Meredith as well. Tell the truth. Was he, you know, hung? That's, I know it said bad timing, but seriously, it was kind of a dorky little dude," which is, It lightens the moment. Lexi is kind of like brought back into it, but she's still sad. But
also, George and Lexi never had sex.
No, he didn't. They did not.
Yeah. And do I really even want to count Meredith and him as having sex?
Yes, they did. They had sex.
I want you to know that I actually forgot about that whole storyline.
Remember when they kept showing it at the beginning of every recap?
Yes. Like, I don't need this anymore. I do remember that now.
So, anyways, nice moment between Mark and Lexi. Unclear where we were in the finale to how we got here, but it's fine. Because I believe your prediction was that they're broken up. They won't speak to each other except for work.
Well, this is work.
It's not.
No. Guys, I'm going to go ahead and I'm accepting the L on this one. I was wrong.
Yeah. Okay. So was there anything else we needed to add before we?
No, that is it. That is it. I think in my notes, I made a reference about how the girl, the motorboat girl is Star Wars canon because she was born in the Force. And then just Arizona, just really being great.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Okay. So let's rate it first. You go first.
This is a solid 4. This is a fellow 4 out of 5 for me. Okay. I will just explain. George is dead, you guys.
I think the shock factor alone would bump it up a little higher.
Everything else kind of is a little boring in the rest of the show. It was so high to start the episode, and then you have this weird roller coaster of, guys, it's not even George. Oh, nope, it's George. weird beginning, weird roller coaster beginning. Liked it. Still great episode. This is still far better than the average episode, but I could go up to a 4.2. I could be convinced to go up to a 4.2, but like it's not a 5. It's not a 5 for me.
The shot. Think about the Bailey scenes, right? Think about the Bailey scenes of it.
And that's what brought me up, those extra couple points there.
I think I'm going to do 4.5. Because again, for me, what takes it down from a 5 is that whole, it's not George. Like that really takes you out of it. And it's really bizarre, but I think
it's funny because you don't like that. And I did like that. They're really fucking with you now.
Yeah, they are. But yeah, I think the portrayals of grief and how it looks different for everyone and how, you know, the world just keeps on going on and you have to figure out what that looks like. In your grief journey, and figuring that out and like seeing the reaper. Oh, we also didn't talk about that Izzy got discharged.
Oh, well we kind of did because we said that they walked in. That's what they found
them. Yeah. Anyways, Izzy got discharged. Izzy doesn't live at the hospital anymore. So yeah, it's, I definitely think it's a good solid start to a season. Like it's setting up, this is the new normal, you know, George is dead and Izzy's not in the hospital anymore. And something's going on with the chief. Something's going on with Callie. Mark and Lexi are kind of fine. Derek and Meredith are married. And this is where we're at right now. So
I feel good with those. I feel good with those rankings. I would like to know what you would like for me to predict.
Do you have anything for Mark and Lexi? Since
I'm
confused.
They're together still. They're together still. Yes. That's my prediction.
Well, right now they are, but do you have a prediction for what will happen?
They will be together still.
Okay. They will stay together. Okay.
They're going to be together. I think all season. This is going to be an all season thing for them. Still really want to see them be together. I want to see them get married. Mm-hmm. I like them together. But she's not going to move in.
But they're going to get married. But she's not going to move in.
No. I want them to be married. But I'm not predicting they'll get married.
Okay. Meredith and Derek.
I'm waiting for the other boot to drop. Derek is going to die.
George just died.
Man, can you imagine if they killed off Derek next episode?
I feel like the show would have maybe gotten canceled.
Derek is not going to die next episode, but Derek will eventually. Derek is going to leave the show through death.
Okay, when?
Season 10.
Okay.
Season 9.
Okay.
Season 8. Season 19. Season 10 is my official season 10.
But do you have anything about Derek and Meredith right now?
They're going to get pregnant from all the sex.
Okay.
By season 6, episode 7, Meredith will be pregnant.
Okay.
With twins.
Alex and Izzy.
I have no fucking idea what's going on here. In my mind, Izzy is still dead. Izzy did not make it out of season 5. So I don't know. I'm so lost.
You can't.
I'm happy for Alex. And I'm happy for Izzy. But like, I don't understand. If Denny shows up one more fucking time, I will be so pissed. Happy and pissed.
I'm here for you, Izzy Stevens.
So I'm sorry. Do you think she dies still?
She's gonna die.
Okay. When?
Season 6. Season 6 finale. And she dies in a bus pushing Alex out of the way.
But
no, it's the same
girl.
Amanda sees her at the bus stop. Amanda goes, "Don't I know you? Oh my gosh, look at the bus." The same bus driver.
That bus driver should maybe be fired.
There needs to be an internal investigation. He went a full city block without knowing.
Yeah.
Public transit. Just killing our finest medical professionals.
Okay. Anyone else? Bailey.
I don't have an exact Bailey prediction, but I'm going to make a prediction for season 6.
Okay.
It's been a while since we've had a gunshot wound. Mm-hmm. To a hospital member. Mm-hmm. In season 6, someone's going to get shot.
Okay.
Because we haven't had any one of our people get shot since Burke.
Correct.
Right? So someone's going to get shot in this season.
Okay.
Yeah. There's been gunshot wounds, but I don't think it's been any of our people.
Yes. That feels right.
So season 6 is going to be the season of the gunshot.
Okay. And with Weber, you said he keeps his job. Someone outside comes in.
Yeah, they're gonna oust him somehow, and then they're gonna get him back in. Okay. I think that's my official prediction. Is there's going to be a period where he does lose the chief of surgery position. It's not gonna be very long. I'm thinking like maybe 3-4 episodes. So from episode 3 through 6 or 3 through 7, we'll have a different chief of surgery. He's going to get ousted next episode.
But it's an outsider who takes the job.
Yeah. Derek's going to turn it down.
Okay. Okay. I think that's it for predictions. Is there anybody else you want to talk about?
I think I just want to know when. Oh yeah. They're going to have sex before he heals himself.
Okay. I mean, we will have to say props to Owen. He's doing a great job with
He's really, she is not making it easy for him though.
She's mad at the therapist.
Respect. Yeah. She calls her a prude, which is very funny.
Yeah.
No, I'm really vibing with Hunt right now. I kind of am really wanting, I want to see, I never thought I'd say this. I want to see more Meredith right now.
Yeah. Now that you know what, it's more enjoyable to watch her with Derek now that she's healed. She's worked hard. She's in a solid place career wise. It feels good. Feels good. You know, obviously George died, so that sucks, but like it feels good with the marriage. Like it feels good. And that's something I want to watch that more than the constant back and forth of the first five seasons.
Yeah. It's, ooh, yawn. Ooh. It is 4 a.m. somewhere. I think about going back and rewatching these episodes, and I'm like, I don't want to have to sit through Meredith.
Yeah.
Or, I mean,
you could watch them on 1.5 speed.
I could. Or I could just listen to our podcast. Yeah, on 1.5 speed. I'm going to listen to our podcast on 2.0 speed and see what happens.
Oh my God, I can't even imagine what we would sound like.
Fuck.
So yeah. Okay. I think that's it then. Do we have anything else to say?
That's it. Take us there, Skitch.
What?
You never seen that movie? No.
Lilo and Skitch?
No. There's a movie called That Thing You Do. Okay. Hold on, everyone. This is a classic rom-com. Tom Hanks, Liv Tyler, Steve Zahn. It's about a one-hit wonder band, and Tom Hanks is the manager, okay? They win a talent show, and they go on to become one-hit wonders. At one point, they're playing this live show, and Lenny leans over to the drummer and goes, "Take us there, Skitch." And Skitch is the drummer. He's Guy Patterson. Steve Zahn is the lead guitar player. This other guy plays the drummer, but his nickname is Skitch.
Why?
Ask Tom Hanks. I don't know, Kelsey.
Okay.
But his wife is in the movie and his son is in the movie. Tom Hanks.
Thank you guys so much for listening. I don't know why you do.
Take us there, Skitch.
Okay. Lilo and Skitch coming to theaters near you. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. You can follow us on Instagram at Grey's Academy Pod. You can email greysacademypod@gmail.com. Carmen has access to neither of those. And so spoily free. No, you can spoil things there. He won't see them. Don't message him spoilers. If you want to talk wild spoilies, you can join us on Patreon to get access to our Discord, where we have a whole thread that he is not on that is literally being utilized right now in this exact moment as we're recording. We also have a thread he is on where there are obviously no spoilies. You can also follow us individually, Chaotically Kelsey, carmen.gabriel.official. Leave us a rating, a review. Please share. Tell your friends, tell your family. We just made the reel of Carmen reacting to George. You can share that. Help new people find us. But thank you guys so much for listening. And remember, if you see Carmen walking down the street,
just remember to not push anyone in front of a bus. And no spoilers. We will see you all in the next one for the finale of this two-parter and the official send-off for our favorite George O'Malley doctor named person named George O'Malley that we've ever met. I've never met another George O'Malley, but we will see you all in the next one.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell, and if you know my husband Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Bye-bye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.